Welcome to this episode of Clinic Press. We are here with Coach John Bauman. I personally got to work with Coach Bauman when we were at Oklahoma State together. He was our throws coach and did all of their strength and conditioning. And we worked together there, and now he is moved on from Oklahoma State and is doing full-time strength and conditioning. And I don't know if we can say where, but I feel like if people just pay attention, they can probably figure it out.
There you go.
So, we were just talking about, I'll let you give some of your background, certification-wise, sure. Things like that, because you've kind of done a little bit of everything.
All right. I started out as a graduate assistant right out of my four-year school, went right to the University of Illinois and started as a strength and conditioning coach. And I did that for about 4 years, so I lived on little nothing to be able to do what I wanted to do. Then I moved into what was a restricted earnings position of $16,000 to coach track and field, but at the same time I got to stay and be the track strength and conditioning coach. I don't know that you really need to have the title of conditioning for track and field.
It's kind of counterintuitive with both the throwers and the runners,
right?
Yeah,
but you know, in our sport, our conditioning, what we do every day, that's what every other sport does for their conditioning.
Yeah, sure.
So we really don't need to do that. We need to just do the strength part
for sure.
So I stayed there for another couple of years, then moved to George Mason and was the head strength coach. But also was fortunate to volunteer, that's kind of how we worked it, to be a throws coach there. And we won the national title, first team to beat Arkansas to take it away from them. And then outdoors, we were runner-up.
And they had a long streak, if I remember.
They had a huge streak,
Arkansas,
you'd have to go back.
It
was, you know, an 8-10 year reign deal. So
I'm going to ask, because I don't know, George Mason is...
Fairfax, Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah, right in the Beltway is the best way to say it. And at that time, we had 14 athletes that went on to become Olympians that year in 1996.
Wow.
Down in Atlanta. Long story short there, I hate the East Coast. I'm not an East Coast guy. So, boom, went back to University of Illinois. Was fortunate enough that... Another track coach on the women's side, I worked for the men first, developed a great relationship with Gary Winkler, who arguably is one of the best sprint hurdle coaches in the world, and was fortunate to go back and work for him for 6 years, doing the same thing, coaching throws, multis, but more importantly, developing strength programs for his elite athletes. And at that time, probably our claim to fame was hurdling. We had 4 girls in the NCAA final out of 8. All Illinois.
Jesus.
One went on to become world champ. Another one now set the world indoor 60-meter hurdles record and is world champ. So, very fortunate in some of the people that I've been around and learn from. From there, moved out to Oklahoma State. We moved closer to family. Same deal. Did throws, multis, and strength training for track and field for 10 years there. Was lucky enough to recruit a young man who is top 10 in the world right now in the hammer, Nick Miller. Now I just consult with him. He's moved on, and which is fine, you know. One less thing to do.
There you go.
And then here at KU, I'm the strength coach for track and field. So kind of a unique position where that's all I do. I have no other teams. So I service or see anywhere from 110 to 120 kids.
If you need any more teams after that.
No, yeah, you don't. Because
that's plenty.
We pretty much have a bigger team than the football team.
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of the career. Certifications, I was never a big CSCS guy until I had to do it this year.
Yeah, I got to retake it.
Yeah.
Still haven't done that.
Yeah. So,
but that
you
was
know.
A fun test to take.
Well, you know, very unique story there for me. Yeah. It's like, you know, you spent 20 plus years learning from everybody else. So you have your own thoughts, ideas, theories, right? And then all of a sudden you have this thrown on to you, and it's this book, and you got to regurgitate what's in this book on this piece of paper. So I spent 2 weeks and just crammed, went and did it online, boom, we're done. Okay, I'm moving on now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The piece of paper is in place,
yeah,
we're good.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I still just do my own thing. What I believe, what holds true, I'm not saying the NSC is bad or anything like that. It's just I'm much more, what would you say, just set in my ways because I've been doing it for 25 years. So I don't use a lot of maybe their stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, like I said before, it's bad or anything. I think it's great for all the young people that are coming through. Gives them a base at least,
yeah, right.
You know, and then from there maybe they can reach out and get with somebody that's older and been around and, you know, we can share our thoughts and our ideas. This is what I think you should try because this is held true.
No,
and, you know, kind of one of the things is it's never sexy, but there's a lot of time hold truths that you just need to stay with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of how I just build around everything that I do.
I mean, you say set in your ways, though. You were telling us what some of the things you're going to do next door, and it sounds like they're pretty cool. Like, you've got some...
It's always
good
evolving,
ideas.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, there's never an end-all, but there is for some people. I think you always got to keep your mind open and look at that and how that maybe fits into what you believe or what you know from your years of experience. So when you say that, you know, it's like I told you before, I believe a lot in gymnastics. I believe in bodybuilding. I believe in powerlifting, I believe in Olympic lifting, I believe in strongman training. I take a wide variety of everything and put it together into the system that I've created, and it works for me. I will share it with anyone because whoever they are, it's probably not the same environment. So it may or may not work for them. I'm not going to force it upon anyone. If they ask, here's what I do. This is what I believe. It works for me. Why does it work? Just what I said. In my system, in that way I run things. Now, if I were to take it to football, I'd probably get thrown out. But I'd probably guarantee my guys would be faster and stronger. But whatever, you know. That's why, you know, a lot of people ask that. Why don't you do that? Well, that's not my niche. My niche is track and field. I love track and field. In my opinion, they're the most athletic people out there. They can produce the most force in various degrees of lots of things. Speed, how fast, A to B, throwing, jumping, right?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, yeah. I you know, and I've told this to a couple of the young guys that are here with me. I believe as a strength conditioning coach that if you can learn the sport of track and field, you can be a strength coach for any sport. Why is that? We run fast. We're very explosive to throw things. We're very explosive vertically to go over bars. Oh, and then we carry this pole down a runway. We plant it and we go vertical,
yeah.
Right? We're also very good at applying forces horizontally into the air. It's everything that every sport does. The biggest thing I think that a lot of young strength coaches miss, and I'm toying with it right now with my young guy Jacob,
yeah,
is they don't understand the energy systems. That's the biggest thing in track and field. What you do from day to day, and this is get a little philosophical, but you got to always be prepared to charge the battery. So who drove down? What car?
Yeah. My Tundra.
Okay, so that Tundra's got a battery. Still got an alternator?
I hope so.
And a starter, right?
Yeah.
So you turn that, starts it up. What's the alternator do? Recharges the battery. right?
Mm-hmm.
Pull that out, what happens? Nothing. Nothing going to happen. So from day to day, what we do in track and field is Monday, what do we do that's going to help Tuesday? What are we going to do that's going to help Wednesday? So in other sports, what do? They run the shit out of people. They have big collisions. They do the same movements, same planes over and over and over. So when you look at those other sports, at least when I do, what are they doing from day to day to keep recharging that battery so that kid can keep going? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Joel was a trainer in track and field. You see a wide variety of injuries. What do you see in football now that you're a football guy? A lot of the same.
Yeah, it just depends where it's located.
But pretty much the same,
yeah.
Right? Because they're doing the same shit. But if they did other things, you wouldn't see even that. So that's how I kind of view that. Anyway, back to certifications. I'm USA weightlifting, but I got to redo that because you can't get grandfathered in. I mean, I used to teach the course, you know, da-da-da-da.
Whatever. All the dollars. I just got an email that mine expired.
Yeah.
Here's $85. Thank you.
So, CrossFit, went to one of the very first ones in Colorado Springs.
That's cool.
Colorado Springs, in Greeley. No, Golden.
Okay.
Oh, wow, nice.
In Golden at the State Patrol office. It
wow.
was crazy.
Wow.
Nice.
You said that was 94?
94-ish, yeah. Yeah. So, and now look how that thing is blowing up, right?
Yeah.
Cash cow, baby.
Yeah.
Met Chris Summers.
Yeah, we were chatting about that earlier,
right?
Gymnastic body.
He would have been sitting like right here with me, and we're in the back talking, and somebody's up there, probably Mike Bergner talking, you know, and we're sharing ideas that way. And then level one instructor in track and field, and then I'm certified in level two, everything, but... the roundy round distance. So pretty much just a big scope of everything, but I think that's how you become a better coach.
For sure.
Is learning other events and stepping out of your box, you know. If you're not good at something, go seek somebody that is. Find them and pick their brain and, you know, steal everything they have. And then you obviously become better.
Sure.
Right? And then give back if you can. Yeah.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know, I'm pretty sure you're a big proponent, multi-sport athlete.
Love it.
I'm just asking because we've been really taking a look at what we were doing in our sports performance center at UWL, and we're moving towards an EXOS model, just, again, moving everything, and you had mentioned with track. What do you a lot of lateral stuff with them?
Yeah.
Just because, like, of all the things you mentioned, there's not really anything on the track that involves a ton of lateral movement in general, but just, again, addressing the whole athlete as a strength coach and trying to make that better.
So in track and field, everything's pretty much straightforward.
Right.
So we don't do a lot of stuff going backwards or laterally. So all of our fall training, they're doing monster walks, they're doing lateral walks, they're doing backward walking, and we have a incline hill at KU football.
Yep.
So we use that to the point where the football guys came out, what the hell is going on, you know? We'll pull sleds up it backwards for hamstring work, we'll go lateral, we'll do karaoke.
Okay.
We're doing all the lateral stuff that you would do in football, track and field. It helps with glute, hamstring, ligaments around the knee,
mobility
in the ankles, right? And you know, we talked about that briefly before. Everything from the ground, and I do mean from the foot up, we're working, especially in the fall, but all year round. I'm a huge believer that if that ankle locks up, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what sport it is, but once that locks up, it's just like Kyle said, when you squat and that femur wants to go forward, well, if that ankle's locked up, you're fucked. everything just goes to shit, right? So yeah.
Yeah.
We do a ton of it.
Okay.
We use slide boards.
Yep.
Our little slider. Tools, bands, to the point where the track kids, and imagine, you know, maybe our biggest quarter miler maybe weighs 185, and they can do bigger, stronger bands than any of the football linemen going sideways.
Mm-hmm.
That's how strong their legs can get. But you got to keep doing it.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. It's not, you know, bring them in and squat the piss out of them and they get huge. It's building that whole holistic thing,
right,
that everything ties in together so it's always firing. That's the whole key.
And then that continues to some degree into their actual season?
Just yes.
To keep everything.
Yeah.
There, but yeah. Maybe not to the same extent with heavy sled poles or...
Yeah, the sled stuff comes out. I mean, you know, I think, and I've talked to several coaches now about this, but a lot of strength coaches out there, they don't have the background as a track coach.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, their egos are too big to maybe go to level one or even level two school to get better knowledge of it. But they all keep training the hamstring as season comes along. Well, I don't need a doctorate degree and I don't need a master's degree to understand that every time you take a step, or more importantly, when you run hard and you sprint hard and you jump hard, that hamstring does work. And how many pounds of pressure is applied depends on the body weight. But it's usually in the excess of 8 to 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I going to bring a kid in, like you just asked, closer to the season and we're going to do RDLs, we're going to do hamstring curls, you know, all this stuff that's just going to tighten stuff up more and more, right? And in track and field, probably the biggest thing that kills kids is the anterior rotation at the hip.
Oh, yes.
So we're not going to compound this problem. So we pull all of that out because we did that when they're doing lesser mm-hmm. degree of running or jumping in the fall. So yes, we pull it out
mm-hmm.
and we shift everything. And we try to do more along the lines of, to keep those strength levels high, more ballistic training. Jump squats, split squats, And sometimes, depending on it, but usually the females need to tighten up more because they're already too elastic. We do a lot more one-legged work. Some people call it the Bulgarian. Some people call it a split squat.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also do a rear elevated. To me, that means the box is higher, the foot is higher.
Yeah.
So there's even less extension and flexion moving down with dumbbells to do the movement, so the quad's getting stronger,
mm-hmm.
but more importantly, so is the hip.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, we move away from that and we try to do it more specifically, you know, like I said, and get away from the traditional hamstring things. So,
awesome.
And body weight movements, we're huge on that here. Coach Mike's group, the distance coach.
Yep.
We've reduced his stress fracture rate considerably.
Nice.
So almost to the point where maybe there's only two or three.
And that's, you're never going to probably get rid of that, yeah, unfortunately.
God, if I could get 100%, they need to give me a bonus.
yeah, if we could figure that out, we'd both be retired by now.
So, you know, learning to reduce that injury rate in the different groups. So, you know, for me, there's six coaches. So there's six different bosses, and they all train different. So it's learning how to manipulate the system to fit what they do. Mm-hmm. And then that just goes back to what I said before. There's too many strength coaches that haven't learned the sport, and especially the energy system from a day-to-day, what's being done. And then being able to have, you know, the fancy word now is undulating. Well, I just call it, I got A, B, C, D workout. Depending on what you did today, we're going to do this workout. Well, you know, I did hills, whatever. Well, we're probably just going to concentrate more on the upper body And if it's a dude, they're going to do a lot of hanging stuff to stretch out their pelvis. The girls, they're going to do tons of abs. They're going to hang, and they may squat a little bit because they're so elastic. We need to tighten that shit up. So, yeah, it's just learning how to do that.
I've been asking all the questions, so if you guys got anything,
I'm just soaking it all in. It's good information. I'm
writing that stuff down.
I was going to ask about the injury prevention, but you kind of went there.
Okay. You know, that's always evolving, though.
And we're trying to take that same thing in and just put it into their training.
Yeah.
Because that's, we don't need to have an extra 30-minute session of
exactly
corrective exercises.
Exactly. So it goes back to, for me, you know, some coaches are great about getting me a daily or a weekly or bi-weekly. This is what I'm going to do.
Coach Pate just...
He's still great.
All year. Yeah. Already mapped out. It's incredible. He's...
You know, and some aren't. So I rely a lot on the kids. And like I said, I have different workouts. I don't have anything here, but
would you do, so if they happen at days that were similar, like would you do the same workout? Like
it always matches up.
Okay.
My theory, or my biggest pet peeve is mixed parameters, mixed result, injured kid. So whatever parameters they're doing, whatever it is, in the field, in the pit, on the hill, that's what you're doing in the weight room. Somehow, some way, those are going to match up, so everything goes together. And so then the next day goes better, right? And so...
So match up in terms of intensity or
movement? More energy system. Because, you know, movement pattern in track and field, almost every event is cyclic. So yeah, we need to do sometimes acyclic stuff to get out of that lateral movement.
Instead of just feeding it in. And
yeah, you don't want to feed the dragon, right? That thing's going to blow up, right?
Sure.
So, yeah, sometimes it's just, okay, we're going to get completely out of anything we've done here to let that body rest. You know, you don't hear it a lot. I don't know. Maybe you guys do, but I don't. In this field, now that I'm in it more, they don't talk a lot as strength coaches about the cellular and tissue level. What are we doing at that level in this room, right? Mm-hmm. All they want to do is push big weights and big numbers, and it's not about that. You know, I always go back to Mark Ripito.
Yep.
You guys know him?
Yep.
So he's a good friend of mine, and he came to one of our level ones, and we also do a strength training thing for that. And he was so intrigued that a track person would be able to do this, right? But, you know, the biggest thing that I think we both kind of agreed on was the strength part, meaning, you know, in powerlifting, which is what he really kind of pushes, you know, absolute strength, time is not a factor, right? It doesn't matter. You grind that shit out, right? Well, what event do we do that?
Right.
We don't. What sport do you do that?
Then you don't really.
Powerlifting.
Right?
You can make an argument for linemen, but even then, that's crappy argument.
You know, so when you look at those things, you got to be very cognizant of what really are you trying to do? You know? And that's what I mean. Get down to the cellular and the tissue level. How are you going to help that kid recover to come back for tomorrow? You know, like this weekend we hosted a lot of teams here at the region and a lot of strength coaches. That's what they were asking my young guys. What's his system like? Well, they're still trying to learn it. But, you know, for lack here, you know, it undulates every week and it's built more on recovery. In the fall, it's built on getting strong, but then it's built on recovery. And how we do that, there's many different ways. But I'm just a firm believer. I can do a 2-day, 3-day, 4-day, 5-day workout, and I got everything color-coded so it makes sense to the kids. They know what they're doing, and they can put that mental thing into the work, you know, also. Just by the color codes, they know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some days it's green. Green, what is green? Green's energy. So when they come in, they may bodybuild today, right? And then another day, there's red and yellow. Yellow is acceleration. Red is static. When they see orange, it's time to go. It's very explosive. So the days are there depending on what they do outside of the room. You know, and I'm blessed that I can just leave the room and go to a practice and say, what'd you do today? Or I can stand there and watch, and then 30 minutes later, they're coming in the room with me. Boom, I can change. Mm-hmm. You know, so if they did, heavy sled pulls or pushes, probably not going to squat today because they already did.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
Not just doing it because it's written on the piece of paper.
Yeah, versus, you know, you could go to almost any football weight room. Well, even though they push sled, we're going to squat today. Shit, you just did that. Why are you doing it again? It doesn't make sense to me. So
makes sense. That makes sense that it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So
how do you like that one?
Yeah.
Until we've been in the sun today.
So I guess kind of getting on the periodization cycles throughout your track and field at this level has got to be a little bit different than football, where you don't have people leaving early and stuff. So do you incorporate more of like a multi-year plan for some of the athletes? And
yeah, every year, everything's set out on a full year thing. Here's the plan, but then within that plan, it can always change.
Right.
But at least I'm always ready for something that they're going to come. Like Coach Hayes is great. He's our vertical jumps guy. We're on the same page. I mean, there's days where kids come in and they just say what they did, and I say, well, we should do this, and Coach, yeah, that's what Coach said. You know, we're just on that page. And then, with a couple other coaches, maybe not so much. So I got to really watch what I'm doing there. Sometimes it just needs to be real linear. And then other times it just waves along. Just depends on where they are.
That's what I was going to ask. So with like freshmen coming in, you know, who maybe lack a little bit of that.
Yeah, freshmen.
Who knows?
I've only been here a year, but what I implemented right away was that they come in and they were with me for almost 6 weeks just learning. And it was body weight stuff and it was med balls. And that was it. The older kids then came into the fold, and then we started doing stuff because they kind of knew the lifts. But at the same time, we separated them out. So, you know, here's the young ones, here's the older. So there's two different workouts going on, and you're always going to get, well, how come they're doing this and I'm doing because of this?
Yeah.
Once you get to be a big person, you'll move. Yeah.
Do you see that with some of the different, like, level of athletes too? I mean, you probably get a huge spectrum here, you know, still a high level track team, but you're going to have the ones that are going to go on to compete at an Olympic level.
Yeah.
And the ones that are going to work to try and make the conference meet.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. That's always going to happen.
Something you adjust a lot for? Or?
A ton.
Okay.
A ton. Every week everybody has a new sheet. And within that, I have the ability to just get my pen and go, we're not doing this, we're doing this, right? And as things go, you start to learn the kids. So I'm just going to give an example. The two Jamaican boys that we have on the 4x4, they started to get pretty big and bulky because they tend to do that. And then, boom, we took them off, do more body weight exercises, body weight dropped, lean body mass way down. They're running 45, 46 now. It was a no-brainer, you know?
That's a first.
We'll edit that out.
So you also have to be aware of the kids that you're training, because different body types, you're going to have to change mid-season.
Yeah.
You know, once we get around conference time, some of those kids, they can't lift anymore. They need to drop and start dropping body weight, you know? You were here probably. Were they doing DEXAs when you were here?
No.
No.
We have bod pod.
Okay, we got rid of that. We do DEXAs here now. And,
good,
you know.
You and everybody else that's got the money to do DEXAs, yeah.
We just had awesome results. I mean, we were having girls gaining 3-4 pounds of lean body mass and dropping 3 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we were having guys gaining 4 and 5 and dropping well under 8%. Well, obviously they're doing something right in the weight room,
right.
But is it transferring to the track?
Right.
And some of it wasn't. So, boom. All right, coach, we're going to switch this around because this isn't working. Well, how's that going to work? Just have a little faith, a little trust. It'll come around, and it has. In the fall, probably the biggest thing that you know, for me personally, it was like, okay, those 4 or 5 guys we tested in the fall off of 300 times, we were like, we got like 5 guys here that can go 45 point. But it wasn't showing up, right? They weren't transferring the stuff from the weight room to the track. But once we started getting out of that and transitioning more into body weight type things or body weight ballistic movements, like on the grass, boom, time started dropping. So we hit it, and now, you know, they're top 5-7 in the country in the 4x4. So, you know, as a strength coach, you still got to look at many factors where, as you guys know, a lot of it's cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in track and field, you can't be a cookie cutter guy. It doesn't work.
We were commenting on that one.
Yeah.
The 4x4 athletes were walking by us. We were right next to them, and you saw all kinds of different body types.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. I mean,
we were just going,
yeah.
How are all these people in the same event group? They were drastically different.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And you got to find the body type and then train that. You know? Yeah. Versus the girls. You know, we've lifted heavy almost all the way up to this, where a lot of people have pulled them out.
Hmm.
But to keep their hormone levels high, you got to lift women.
Huh.
Otherwise, they'd have dropped through the roof. Yep.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yep. Practical.
Yeah.
They're very practical.
Yeah, it's not written.
I can see where that experience comes into play.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yep. You touched on Mark Riffitel. What are some of your other bigger mentors that you've kind of adopted? I know you and I have talked about this some, and even back to the days when you'd be at conferences and Greg Hook and all those guys were there with you and everything.
When I first got in, I was fortunate to meet Mike Gattone and Roger Nielsen, both of them world team and Olympic team weightlifting coaches. That's how I got into that sport. I used to drive to Chicago or Peoria every weekend and either lift or watch what was going on. When we went to Sayre Park in Chicago on a Saturday, it was nothing to see 5 or 6 current or past Olympians in the room training. So you got to watch it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, you got to listen to Roger coach. And same with Mike when he was in Peoria. Jeff Macy is Oregon State Director of weightlifting or, you know, strength and conditioning. Was an Olympian that was also in Peoria and started at Bradley. Al Vermeil from the Bulls.
Yeah.
Used to go hang with Al. And then Eric, his longtime assistant, also is now the director at Wisconsin.
Yep. One of our football coaches, really good friends with them.
Yeah.
And one of our buddies is at Wisconsin now.
That would be it, probably from the Olympic weightlifting side. Powerlifting, you know, obviously Rip, another guy that he works with now is Reynolds, Mark Reynolds.
Okay.
He had the probably one of, or arguably the strongest raw gyms in the U.S. over in Missouri in Springfield, and just recently sold it. Louis Simmons, when I was a young coach, I used to have almost a weekly visit on the phone with Louis,
nice.
You know, and, you know, just take certain things that I liked that fit in what I wanted to do. I don't, you know, everybody has their argument, oh, you know, this, that, and the other. You know, the guy's very, very intelligent, and you just need to listen and take the things that you like,
right.
You know. and too many people, they think it's an end-all to everything. And that's not the case. It's
a big frustration of mine.
Yeah.
Just listen to it. Yeah. You don't have to like all of it. Just listen to it.
Yeah. From gymnastics, I was blessed to have, you know, just great gymnastic coaches at the University of Illinois.
Yeah.
The men's team were many time national champs. Okay. So I could always go over and see Yoshi and just hang out with him. And you know, eventually they just gave me a key to the room so we could bring our team in there in the morning. And we trained our women's team all the time in there.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that would be that.
That's an impressive list of names.
Track and field, man, it's huge.
I believe that.
You know, Cliff Rivelto's probably one of my bigger multi-event mentors, along with Bruce Nexider. And Bruce speaks all the time. Gary Winkler, obviously, is my sprint hurdle guy. Yeah, I worked for him. Even before I worked for him, when I was at the university, he was always there. Dan Paff, who's out at Altus.
Okay.
Another one. Vern Gambetta, you know, Vern's a longtime friend. I'm going to go to his GAIN conference this weekend,
or
in 2 weeks, you know. I know I'm missing tons of guys, but, been very fortunate to be in the right place at the right time and be able to listen to people far smarter than I am, you know, and take their knowledge and just soak it in, you know, and like I said, just develop the system that I think works, and it works how I understand it. You know, it's you know, sometimes you get so many people that all they want to do is read, and they forget about the practical side of it or the clinic side. What, you know, you have to be in that, because the book isn't going to tell you everything, you know. So yeah, that's a few of them.
Yeah.
Quite a list.
You guys have any more? I got one more if nobody else got. Just like looking at like younger athletes, like this is a very broad question, like something that you see like missing with them early, other than they should be a multi-sport athlete in terms of like training, you know, is how young is too young, what should it focus on? I think I probably got an idea based on how our conversation's already gone, but.
Yeah, I think, you know, too many people train them, especially in the weight room, too young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think kids need to play. They need to learn movement and do many, many games, because that also is a problem-solving skill, which will help them later in life from a mental standpoint if they do go into sport. It also helps them understand their bodies. I think the biggest thing now with all the performance centers is they get too specific too fast. Kids don't learn really how to, let's say if they're moving left, how to lower their body, their center, stop and move to the right. You got a guy constantly telling them this is what you need to do, but they can't feel it.
Right.
So when you talk to athletes, what do you feel? I don't know. Yeah, because they're doing all the thinking for them.
What am I supposed to feel?
Tell me. Yeah. You know, so I think maybe at a younger age, they just need to bring them in and let them play.
I've seen some of those ones, just little short Facebook videos of like they're running basically back and forth shuttles, but they're playing tic-tac-toe at the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, just having to go, and they're trying to be quick and react, but they also got to.
I mean, you know, you don't see kids in your neighborhood now playing kick the can. Did you guys ever play that?
Yeah.
Right? You know what it is.
We played a bunch of other stuff.
You know,
we were lucky to have a park across the street.
You know, things like that, and oh shit, it's almost dark, man. And they're still out there playing it.
Yeah.
You don't see that now. Not at all. You know, you don't see kids playing pickup. Yeah. Pickup baseball.
We played a version of rugby.
You know?
Smear the insert in inappropriate word here.
Yeah. So I think they need to do that. I think more kids need to play more sports. And then once they go to college, they can be more specific of what they really want to do. And that career really takes off. I mean, you can go and look. Stood the test of time, you know, you can go with the pro football players more than anybody. Who are the ones that last? It's the guys that were three-sport guys.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, absolutely. The big thing right now, everybody's putting on Facebook, Twitter, you know, you name any social media is, what football players are doing track right now? Holy crap, the list is huge. Why? Ohio State, because mm-hmm. they hubbed it so hard, yeah. right? But yet, there are how many NCAA schools, Division I, they are not going to do track. They're going to only do football. Yeah. Whether it's the head coach or the head football strength coach. You know what? Not everybody knows everything. Learn from everybody. Sure. If you know, I mean, if that guy over there in that room can make my kid faster, I want that guy doing it, right? But it's a, I guess as the field has moved, there's too many egos now.
Yeah, it's hard to check that at the door.
You know, and that's the problem. If you're really into the athletics, it's about the kid. It's not about you. Then you shouldn't have got in it. Yeah, it's got to be about the kid. How can I help them? So.
Sounds good. On to the questions.
Yeah, the only other one I could think of, same kind of question, but for young strength coaches coming into the field, what kind of advice would you have for them? We work a lot with undergraduate exercise science, strength conditioning students who starting to venture out.
Given our current field, kind of how it is, I tell my two young guys that I'm working with, I said, you got to find a niche. That's what this field is about right now.
Yeah.
You got to have a niche. If you don't want to do football, then become the best or the greatest Olympic sport strength guy. Learn every sport and become great at it, but really hone in on something and become just so damn good at that that, you know, somebody goes, I want that guy. Where, you know, if you don't want to be in football, you better be damn good.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're a football guy and that's your heart and that's where you are, same thing though. You got to become, you know, a great speed guy.
Niche within football, yeah.
You know, a great lateral movement guy. A great programmer, you know. A great Olympic technician. How can you take, you know, athlete A and B and C and D and get them all, you know, the big thing now is that they all clean 300. You know, back, man, when I was in college, shit, they were everywhere. Now, man, strength guys work their asses off to get a 300-pound clean in football. That doesn't make sense to me. You know, how come now it's so hard when 20-odd years ago, and they were everywhere. They were better athletes. You know? I think that's it. You just got to find that niche. I really do. You know, depending on the football program that you go to, you know, there's some guys where the 225 thing, that means the world, right? So learn how to train it. So when you go in to talk to somebody, you can explain what you do and how well you do it,
yeah.
right? Or if, you know, that coach is looking for somebody to come in and do the Olympic side and you're great at making kids power clean, hang clean, well over 300, get after it, yeah. But I think the young guys, they need to find a niche and get great at it. Yeah, yeah. I don't know, maybe it's me, but programming is easy, but learning how to make changes on the fly, there's not enough of that.
The art versus science.
There you go.
Part of it, yeah.
Coaching is an art. It's not cookie cutter. And I think some of our younger guys, when they get into these programs and stuff, that they, you know, I got a program. Yes, but you also need to learn to be able to change on a dime. Because every day you come in, you can't tell me that those kids are going to be 100% and they can do your plan. It just doesn't work that way. And if it does, they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing. Yeah. So hopefully that helped.
Yeah, definitely.
What recommendations do you have for just your everyday, your average person in terms of just if they're wanting to, you know, become more fit or strong or just better fitness in general?
you know, seek out people of the areas maybe they're not understanding and go and sit with them and learn or pick their brain. Yeah. I don't think that happens enough in our field either, you know, strength and conditioning. Here again, it always goes back to the ego thing, I mm-hmm. think, that, you know, when I was young, the one thing that I was very fortunate to do is meet some of those mentors that I told you, but we would have a, I wouldn't call it a conference, but like a seminar or a symposium where certain guys were brought in, and the first rule was, doors locked, drop your pants, let the information go, whatever happens in this room stays in this room. So there were no insecurities, right? So it wasn't like now, when you walk into an NSCA, it's like, okay, I got the biggest dick in here, so none of you guys, you can't hang with me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the feel out there versus just drop your pants, let the information go. I mean, I've done it. I've called guys and emailed some of the guys after I went to my first one that in January. I shit you not, it took 3 months to get a hold of one guy. And the only reason I think he emailed me back is because I got a hold of another friend and said, hey, this dude's dropping your name. Are you guys buddies? Because I've been emailing him. And boom, all of a sudden I got an email within 10 minutes.
Nice.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, share it.
Right.
So just like you said, somebody that wants to know, go out there and find people that are going to share. The people that, you know, don't really want to, do you really want to be with them?
Right.
Did that
yeah, that's good.
Answer it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough in the fitness world just because of the gyms and mm-hmm. and things like that. A lot of the gyms, it's this is what we do here, right? It's all kind of, we're not stepping over, we're not stepping out of this box, stay in here. So everybody's doing the same thing. Versus, you know, if you're just a, you know, weekend warrior, go find somebody. You know, a lot of times those people will just sit down and have a coffee with you, have a beer, whatever. They'll shoot the shit and give you more information than you ever wanted.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I always tell my young guys that when we were out somewhere, go find somebody. You're going to learn more on that napkin that you get at the end of the night than you ever will at a conference. And it's the truth. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now on to the press ones, or you got another one?
No.
You're kind of notorious for that sometimes, so I just want to double check.
Like to learn.
Yeah. So, you kind of heard these before in the other one, but we'll roll through them again. Something you believe that others may not?
Karma.
Ah, that's a first. I like it, though.
Yeah.
That's a karma. First for that one.
I really believe in karma.
Yep. Good. Enough said with that
Simple
one.
Simple and easy, yeah. Top three take-home tips or things that you would, you know, ask for people to do that
okay.
are listening?
I'm a huge proponent of massage, so Kyle, you know.
Yeah.
If you can't afford it, you know, you at least try to work it in your budget, especially if you're an athlete and you're trying to do something and move farther ahead, because most people, you know, we're shitty at recovery, you know. You know, it doesn't matter if it's an athlete or a normal person, how many people drink X amount of coffee, which I don't anymore. I'm a tea guy. Got rid of that, Joel. You know, the diuretic thing going on and lack of water and, you know, go get a massage. Number two, get a pedi. Let somebody rub your feet, man. It feels great. Let them do that, you know.
Right.
You don't got to do it all the time, but, you know,
I did a reflexology, although I don't
same
know if it was,
kinda,
but when I was over in India.
Yeah, kind of
first
same
time
thing.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And to back up what Kyle said, more people need to laugh. Go out with your friends, go out with your buddies. You don't got to get drunk all the time, but go out and have fun. I tell the athletes a lot here when we're getting ready for big meets, okay, just go do something for you. Do something fun. Go laugh. Go find some friends. Call a buddy you haven't for a long time. I bet you'll laugh. You know, just enjoy it. Yeah.
What's an influential purchase you have for $100 or less?
My super sliders.
There you go. Bet you get a bunch of those for $100 too.
Yeah, no, you can, man. Lowe's, Walmart, Home Depot.
Well, they're not even like a perform better type thing.
Hell no.
For moving.
Yeah, moving furniture.
Okay.
Moving furniture. Even better.
I can find these on Amazon. I'm almost positive.
Yeah. You can use them for anything. Plank position, right? Hamstring work, squat work, shoulder mobility work on the wall.
Moving a fridge, probably. Moving a fridge.
Moving a fridge. Yeah.
Redoing your weight room if you need to. Yeah.
Making your man cave better.
There you go. Any good books? We used to talk books a whole bunch.
Yeah,
so.
Man.
Ripito's book, probably, right?
Everyone of Rip's books. The Starting Strength series, that's what I would say there with Rip. Kind of my go-to authors. How about that?
Sure.
Frank Dick, Bompa, Medvedev, Roman.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Then what information would you tell yourself in your training or education if you could go back?
Oh, wow.
Maybe when you started? Like we're going to interrupt you here, but
no, it's all right. It would have been back when...
Up Coach Vic?
When I first started to take better notes of the things that I learned versus, you know, now it's like, I tell a lot of guys, it's like, you know, most of us that have been in the field for 25 years or a bit more, we've probably forgot more than most people have learned. And we should have wrote it down.
For sure.
So the only way for us to get that information again going is to sit and have a conversation in the data bank, it starts to roll. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. That it?
That's it.
All right.
Once you get back to it.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, guys. Sir.
Yeah, yep, thank you very much. Nice meeting you.
All right.
Thanks for chatting.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for watching this episode of Clinically Pressed. If you want to go check out our full site at clinicallypressed.com, we'll have links to all our episodes, our insights, and coming soon, CP Shorts. Also, while you're there, we are starting to offer online courses, with our first one being Dr. Jacobs Weight Loss 101, so check that out. You can find us at any podcast outlet and YouTube. While you're there, if you could give us a thumbs up or a rating, that would be great. We've heard it really helps. Also, check out our blog at totalathletictherapy.com, where you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter that summarizes all of our posts, plus provides you with some other extras. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you again soon.